Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Westy, and Ray, raised in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, and now Parrish Alford is in studio with us. Good morning, Parrish.
Tim, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Glad to be here.
So, if I can talk about this, you and either your son or a friend, y'all have an annual tradition. Mm-hmm. Of going out somewhere across America and visiting a college football stadium you haven't been to, right?
It's a relatively new tradition. It's a friend here in Tupelo that I travel with, and the goal, at least for me, is to hit venues that are not in the Southeastern Conference.
Did you been to all those?
Yeah, because I've seen all those.
You've seen all those. You served. How many years did you?
29 at the Daily Journal.
At the Daily Journal, which is the local newspaper here, and you went to all the Southeastern Conference venues?
Several times.
Multiple times,
I was blessed, Tim, to do a very long career, do the only thing I ever really wanted to do.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Until I came here.
Yeah. So tell me the places outside of the SEC that you've traveled to already.
It's just three, and because it started when I started here at American Family News. And so in 2023, that fall, David Farrell, my friend, and I went to University of Oklahoma, went to Norman.
Okay.
Which is now in the SEC, but I needed to check that box.
At the time, they were.
Right.
They weren't.
They were still in the Big 12, so we've been to Oklahoma. We went last year to Clemson, and we're going in a few weeks to Notre Dame. And we'll
going to Notre Dame.
Yes, we'll fulfill a lifelong.
Touchdown Jesus.
Yeah, we'll fulfill a lifelong ambition to see Purdue football live. So,
it's
Notre Dame and Purdue.
You just dissed Purdue right there, and we have a lot of Purdue listeners out there. So I'll tell them to send you an email. Okay. Purdue at Notre Dame, right?
Purdue at Notre Dame.
Purdue is more known for their basketball prowess.
Yes.
Not their football prowess. Well, that's a cool trip to South Bend, and
except for Drew. Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, mm-hmm. Graduate of Purdue. So you went to Death Valley. You went to Clemson.
No, I went to Clemson, Tim. You know, Death Valley, that's in Baton Rouge.
You're from Baton Rouge area. Okay, because both schools claim to be Death Valley.
Yes, they both claim that.
And we're going to find out Saturday night.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Because LSU is playing Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Clemson. Yeah.
That's right.
It's Clemson.
But, and it's,
say, with a P.
It was funny, Tim, to read these message boards through the years.
Yeah.
And you're keeping up with different things. And you see how one fan base antagonizes another fan base. And they come up with their pet names.
Right.
And so the name from South Carolina fans for Clemson, which made me chuckle, was Clem and Son.
Well, Ray, the Clemson and Marvin Sanders taught me this. It's Clemson, right?
It's got
It sounds like it's got a P in there.
It's like it should have a P.
Yeah. So that Clemson and LSU both are the Tigers, and they both play at Death Valley. That's what they claim their stadiums to be. So that's Saturday night.
Parrish, who is favored in a big game Saturday night? Clemson or LSU?
You know, I think, and I haven't looked at it that closely, but I think LSU was favored by a little bit in that game. It will be, a wonderful atmosphere. We really enjoyed our trip to Clemson last year, and it just happened that it was the weekend that the hurricane had gone up through the Carolinas. And so we got there with a lot of, in most places of the city, electricity out and red lights not working and things like that. But we had the tickets, and we debated, and we went ahead and, you know, they were gonna play, so we went ahead and made the trip.
Football was more important to y'all than
the
human suffering that was taking place in other places.
But look, there's the other side of looking at that, Tim, is, and I've seen it this way for many years, is the people who are suffering need that release.
Yeah, I know.
They need something.
Tell yourself that.
Yeah. And we did.
And hey, listen,
I'm just kidding. All right. Hey, what's your first news story?
Hold on. Between talking football and popcorn, all we need is Rotel.
Okay.
Well, so I'm eating popcorn.
Go out there in the hall, see if somebody's cooking up some Rotel for you.
Rotel. That's right.
Go ahead, Parrish, first story.
Tim, this dust storm passed through the Phoenix area, Arizona, and it lasted for about 15 minutes, and it was very intense, and reports say that people could not see a hand in front of the face. Just really intense dust storm, kind of like you see in the movies.
Yeah, did you see this, Ray? Yesterday.
I did. Stunning. Some of those pictures. It looked like something out of a Hollywood apocalyptic feature film, but it's the real deal.
Yeah, lasted about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just think of, there's nothing that doesn't get impacted when that goes through. I just think of dust going into people's homes through the ventilation system.
Yeah, how does that?
I mean, you know, I assume that's a thing.
Yeah, you know? Well, I saw it. If you haven't seen it, you need to go type it in and watch it, folks. It's incredible. If you experienced it, you don't want to experience it again. But it's a, like Ray said, it's a big wall of dust that looks like it's clouds, and it's just rolling into Phoenix, the Phoenix area, and just
Okay, Tim. You know how you see when volcanoes erupt, and then
the
clouds come in,
right?
You know, that's exactly what it looked like. It'd be terrifying.
Yeah, a dust storm.
Knocked out power at the airport.
I've been in one dust storm before, but we were in Israel when it happened. They had a dust storm come in from the Sahara, you know, over in Africa. And so it's like you think it is. It just leaves a coat of dust, thick dust on everything. And you're right. I don't know how it doesn't get into the air conditioning vents and everything like that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I've not been through one, thankfully.
The discussion doesn't do it justice. You really do need to go
Google watch it. Watch it. It looks like you would think the world is ending if you're sitting there watching that coming at
like
you.
Like a movie.
Yeah.
It sounds like a diss on the discussion, though, like we're not doing a good job.
Of what there?
Of describing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're doing all we can verbally to describe it. But all right, next story.
Okay. Next story. You know, there's been a lot of talk about tariffs when they first came out, a lot of concern, but the Congressional Budget Office says that Trump is bringing in enough revenue from tariffs to cut U.S. deficits by $4 trillion over the next decade. $4
trillion. Well.
A trillion here, a trillion there.
That's right. Well,
real money.
The main thing, the biggest story here for me is 2 months ago, tariffs were going to end Trump. Tariffs were going to be so bad on the economy that we would forget all the good that Trump did. That's how bad it was supposed to be. And then here we are 2 months into it, and we're meaning the United States through Trump and his administration is negotiating all these deals with all these different countries, building more and more relationships, and there's a possibility here that you can cut the deficit, much less neutral. Cutting it's even better. Obviously, we got a long ways to go, and it's a lot bigger. The deficit's a lot bigger story than this, but the fact is we are making progress through tariffs.
Well, the shocking part of it is the amount of money, right, that the United States is taking in. Right now, this is from the Congressional Budget Office. Is that right, Parrish?
Yes.
CBO, which is supposed to be nonpartisan, and they're just saying that Trump's tariffs are bringing in trillions of dollars to the U.S. coffers.
The report found that increased tariffs have raised tariff rates by about 18 percentage points compared to last year. So about 18% up on the rates. If these rates remain, deficits would shrink by $3.3 trillion and interest payments would fall by another $700 billion.
Any thoughts on this, Ray?
Well, it's a stunning reversal from what we heard.
Right.
As Wesley said a couple of months ago. And I think it's a tremendous a tremendous tribute to Donald Trump, his courage, his perseverance. You know, he gets criticized for so many different things. But here's a case where he stood by it, the tariffs are working, and suddenly the national deficit is going to go down. And what did we say, $4 trillion? That's pretty good. Okay, that's pretty good money over 10 years. And, hey, I'm glad to hear it.
Yep, Parrish, you're an economist, right?
No, but I play one on TV.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how to break that down other than what the CBO said. They said that Trump's tariffs are bringing in trillions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
It's going to cut the. It's going to help offset the deficit.
It sounds really good to me.
Right.
And I know when it was rolled out, there were lots of concerns.
Right. Right. And now we don't know exactly how much of that is coming from U.S. citizens who are having to pay more for items that have been tariffed. We don't know how to factor all that in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do, yeah. Tim. But, you know, when I go to Walmart,
right,
and I feel like if that cost is being passed on, I don't feel it. I don't sense it. I don't know it.
Right, right.
But a headline like this makes me go, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is working.
Yeah. So you're easily...
Manipulated.
I think so. I think that's a confession I think we all can appreciate.
Yeah. Now, if you were going to do something like this, now's the time because the...
Do what?
The tariffs. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, tariffs. Yeah. Okay.
So the reason now's the time if you're going to do the tariffs, the reason is because Biden and his administration and his efforts destroyed the economy and inflation skyrocketed. Things were so bad that we couldn't possibly complain about a little more or a little less. I mean, because it's so bad that to Parrish's point, if there is any rollover to the consumer, I haven't noticed it. It's just all bad as far as living costs increase. It's been bad for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Interest rates and living, it hasn't gone down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was worth a shot and it worked. So.
Yeah. Next story.
All right. The city of San Diego, California, is suing a number of residents and businesses and victims over 2024 flooding, saying that these residents, through development on their property, caused the flooding, or at least caused it or played a part in it increasing. So...
Mm-hmm. Well, I really don't care.
Okay.
That's right.
Next one. Give me the next story.
I like anything that starts out with Florida man.
Yeah. Okay. Florida man story.
Okay. Florida man arrested after trying to retrieve a drug drone from the home where it crashed. So he launched this drone with drugs, trying to make a delivery.
His own drugs?
Not on these drugs. He wasn't on these because he was trying
to. All right,
to
start over again. I was saying
this guy's a drug dealer.
Yeah,
a
drug dealer.
By the way, at any point y'all need my help.
It's a transaction. Got a transaction taking place here, okay?
Okay.
This man's trying to deliver his product.
Okay.
A Florida man.
Florida man.
Yeah.
Florida man.
So he loads up his product in a drone.
Okay, gotcha.
He's going to deliver it.
Be a drone.
Yeah. Could, okay. Could everybody see?
Are these legal or illegal drugs we got going out?
Very illegal.
Yeah. Very illegal.
Yes.
Very illegal.
Yes.
Very illegal. Okay, Florida man has very illegal drugs. I'm following you. he's going to send his drone out to deliver. Okay, go ahead.
On a drone. And the drone crashed.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All of that hard work.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, all that hard. Drone crashed. And he tried to retrieve it.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can see that. Okay. Put a lot of effort into something.
Sure.
Protect your investment.
They the drones
that's
aren't cheap. You got to sell a lot of drugs.
That's right. A lot of money, a lot of effort. So he goes to the house where it crashed and knocked on the door. But, you know, as fortune would have it, the homeowners had already called the police.
Mm.
Oh, because they recognized that the drone had a drug.
Yeah.
How does it – let me ask you this question. I've yet to see drones that carry stuff. Am I missing it?
You are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Wesley, and then Wet Ray.
They have drones that are big enough to carry hundreds of gallons of Roundup to spray fields.
Oh,
so they have drones. So when you think of drones, you're most likely thinking of the drones of five years ago that – Or your
grandson gets out and controls and flies over the backyard.
Yeah, like a little airplane type thing. No, they have drones the size of this room.
Okay, and you can, but you have to register those with the FAA and get clearance to probably.
Well, yeah, they're hundreds of thousands, probably millions of dollars, the ones that are this size right here.
But if you're hauling illegal drugs, you're probably not calling to get clearance from the local.
Well, and I'm not an expert here. I know people that have drones. I know we have AFS, American Family Studios, they have a drone that's used for filming. And there are certain there's certain heights in certain locations, both heights and locations that they have to get certified permission for. Also, the size of which one it is. Is it one that has a camera on it? Is it one that just flies? Is it one you got from Walmart? Or is it one? So there's different kinds of drones. This one's going to be a little bit more sophisticated if it can carry drugs.
Ray, have you seen these drones?
Look, Amazon has been experimenting with using drones to make deliveries, right? And restaurants like pizza parlors have been experimenting with drones to deliver pizza, which is kind of freaky, you know.
Right.
And then, and they I don't know.
Flying around?
Yes. And it drops
right
down.
Have your pizza flying around?
Do you have to tip the drone?
Oh, that's good.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to leave the pizza if you don't.
Right. He'll just stand there and drone at you.
He'll just stand there and drone at you until he gets his tip.
So the people called the police, and the guy got busted, arrested?
They did. And he was 49-year-old Florida man, 15-time convicted felon.
We've talked about
this. Jason Brooks. Spraying a crop out here, Dad.
Yep. That's in a red state. Maybe he got convicted in a blue state. What'd you say?
Fertilizing crop right there.
Oh, I'm watching that. Yeah, Wesley's showing me a picture of a drone doing what do we call those planes that fly? Crop dusters? Crop dusters normally do, have done, but this is a drone doing it. That's interesting.
Now, when the drones came out, Tim, I really wanted to, thought it'd be good to buy one to fly over the game I was covering, whether Mississippi State or Ole Miss, I just envisioned it getting shot down and creating an incident. But I thought that would be pretty neat to have one with a camera on it. And
yeah, well, they probably have drones now that do that.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
So anyway, at Auburn they have an eagle that does that for you. You know what I'm talking about?
For a long time, yes. Yeah. I've seen that. Very, very
At Auburn games. You seen this, Ray?
I have not.
At Auburn football games, they release an eagle.
Right.
That flies out over the stadium.
Okay, and he's got a camera?
He's not a drone. He's a real eagle.
Yeah, I don't know that he has a camera. Now, he may, but that is a long tradition there at Auburn, and it's really neat to see.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, where we've had one Florida man story. You don't have any more Florida man stories.
I got a story for everyone.
You got it?
I was there, and you can YouTube this.
Right. Okay.
I was there in Auburn Football Stadium, and this may have happened more than once, but I know it happened once because I was there when the eagle flew into the glass window. You can look this up and hit the glass like the skybox, and then flew it and fell down. And that was the same. I think that was the same year that Cam Newton they won the national title. So,
well, it's not talked about much, but that Auburn Eagle has a drinking problem.
That's right. That's what it was.
But we all have our weaknesses, I don't want to make fun of Auburn fans because they got a drunk eagle.
but
it happens.
That's it.
You know.
When the
eagle ran into the glass.
Yeah, we were kind of hanging out watching the game. They let the war go. You know, even as a fan, to experience another team's tradition.
Pretty fun. Absolutely.
My experience was them releasing the eagle, everybody's celebrating. It makes one loop around the stadium and then collides into the press box and then starts falling down.
Sad. I'll tell you, I covered many games at Auburn. I've never seen that. They've always been able to execute that flawlessly. The eagle. I've seen other people crash into the glass. I've never seen the eagle do that.
Yeah.
So that's
humans do drink at college football games. I know. I can attest.
Yeah,
that
some
happens.
Humans.
Not me
it happens
firsthand.
From
but
time to time.
Yeah. All right, we got time for about a few more stories.
All right, Daily Mail, Tim from the Daily Mail. Okay. A 10-year-old boy found a big diamond ring big diamond ring in the parking lot of Costco in Manchester, Missouri, about 20 miles outside of St. Louis. You know what he did with it?
He sold it.
This is a renew your faith in humanity story.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is. This is a good counter to the drug drone story.
Yes, it is. You know. So this is a real story. Happened yesterday, or was reported yesterday. Maybe happened earlier. Mm-hmm. You have a 10-year-old boy in Missouri. Mm-hmm. He's at Costco, and he sees something shiny on the ground, right?
Yes.
In the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Picks it up, and what happens then?
Well, he didn't put it in his bag of marbles like I probably would have at 10 years old. Okay. He said, "Mom, look at this." And, of course, his mother identified it and knew that someone was really distraught to have lost it. And they walked back into the Costco, and a lady had already called and said, "Hey, I'm missing this. I've lost this ring. Do you know anything about it?" And, you know, they all got together. And I know this is radio and you can't see it, but there are a lot of pictures about ladies smiling and a good ending, and the diamond ring was returned to the owner.
Yeah, that is. Did you hear about this story, Ray?
Yeah, I read about it, and I thought to myself, I mean, how many people, if they found a diamond ring
right
on their way into Costco, would do what that little boy did, because his mom said, "You got to do it," and
right.
Good for him and good for her. This is a truly happy ending kind of story.
He did the right thing, Tim. I hope he got more than a hug.
We all learned that story from Honest Abe, right? Mm-hmm. Honest Abe Lincoln. You remember that story?
I do.
Abe Lincoln supposedly walked. Y'all help me now.
He was cutting down those trees, right?
No, that was George Washington.
I cannot lie.
I did chop down the cherry tree. That's George Washington. Honest Abe was he.
The commercial. Do I look big in this dress? No, is that not it?
That's definitely not.
You're not tracking the story here with me at all. But I do know what you're talking about. But it was Honest Abe. What was it? He walked so many miles to take a nickel back or a penny
something
back.
Like
or, you remember this?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, this is where the panel helps. I'll look it up for you.
Brave that, whatever. Honest.
We should know our legends better.
Where do we get the phrase Honest Abe from? And it's something about he walked a mile to take some money back.
While we're getting the answer to that, my question was going to be, how was this? Obviously, a diamond ring. Obviously, a wedding ring is very important. But how long were they married? Has her husband?
This was an older couple.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was an older couple.
So I guess older than you.
I guess when I say, the point I was going to get at, at the images, older. I mean, after, you know, a 10-year ring.
This woman was so happy to get her wedding ring back. She was just squeezing the life out of that little 10-year-old boy, hugging him so tight.
Yeah, and the couple has a 50th wedding anniversary upcoming.
Yeah, so there you go, 50.
So the Honest Abe meaning comes from the reputation that was built on numerous anecdotal from Abe Lincoln's life. Such as walking several miles to return excess change that the customer gave him that he discovered once he got home.
Excess change, yes, that's right.
And I
remembered it right.
Well, yep.
Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, there's several of them, so you got to think statistically one of them's true. Otherwise, you don't get the reputation.
But the reputation was Honest Abe. He was an honest person. That was the story. I'm going to assume it's true.
Yep.
I don't want to even think about my third grade teacher not lying to me about that. That would be very disheartening. All right, we're out of time here. Thank you for yours. Parrish, appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Wesley, Ray, thank you.
You bet.
You're welcome.
And Fred Jackson, thank him. And Brent Creeley, our producer. We'll see you back here tomorrow.